You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. This is a Catholic Schools Today edition of Catholic Community of Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side in Chicago. And the time is exactly 9 o'clock on this Monday morning, March 8th, in co-hosting my great friend Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, good morning.
Good morning. We're in the middle of Lent.
Middle of Lent. Just finished with the third Sunday of Lent, third weekend. It's like almost the halfway point. How quickly.
It's going fast.
Lent. And also to remind people, this Saturday evening, when you go to bed, change the clock. Spring forward 1 hour.
I hate that.
We will actually lose an hour's sleep. Am I right, Hitman? Right, Brian? Well, I think it's great because now it stays light later. This is wonderful. Well,
fallback is much.
Oh, we have another guest coming in here.
Much more fun. Fallback is more fun.
And then spring is exactly, I think, a week from Sunday. So you feel that spring in the air. In fact, red-winged blackbirds are arriving, robins are arriving, so that's the earliest sign of spring. So our phone number, 312-255-8408 on Catholic Schools Today. We have a tremendous program lined up. We have with us, first of all, let me read this little paragraph. In August 2006, the recently established Catholic Diocese of Nsukka in Nigeria dreamed of Catholic schools to effectively educate students from nursery through high school. With the support of Cardinal Francis George, this partnership with the Archdiocese of Chicago is based on the professional and personal friendships that are rooted in the global mission of Catholic education. The Catholic school children in Chicago support their peers in Nsukka through their Dollars for Dreams program each spring. On March 11th, which will be later this week, 10 delegates from Chicago Catholic schools will travel to Nsukka, Nigeria, and we have four of them in studio with us. We have Stephanie Clausel, delegate and principal of St. Albie School in Chicago. We have Bernadette Felicioni, delegate and principal of Immaculate Conception School, Talcott in Chicago. And she just arrived, Bernadette, just arrived here in studio. You can catch your breath, Bernadette. And also with us, Carol Fent, a delegate, Norma Thornton, a delegate. To all of you, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do for a second, maybe Carol, what is the history going back to 2006 that established this connection with the Diocese of Nsukka, Nigeria?
In 2006, Father Willie Odo was a resident at St. Aloysius Parish, which was my parish, and he also was working here in the Marriage Tribunal, having just finished his doctorate in Rome, and he was doing his internship here. So at that time, he met Esther Hicks of the Archdiocese, and they got to talking, and he saw how wonderful the Festival of Faith went and how she helped organize part of that group. And he thought, well, it would be great if somebody could come and do something for that for us in Nigeria. So that's kind of how their conversation started. Esther introduced him to the to Nick Wasanovich, who was the superintendent at that time, and he gave her the A-OK to get going on a partnership. And Sister Mary Paul has continued to have that partnership develop, and the Bishop of Nsukka, Francis Okobo, is all for it too, and him and Cardinal Francis George have agreed that this partnership would continue. And So with that, we've had a couple of people going to Africa.
It seems that this partnership is multifaceted. One aspect of it is to help raise funds for the Diocese of Nsukka, or at least for the Catholic schools, through this Dollars for Dreams program. Is that correct?
I believe so. That's part of what we would like to do is is do what we've been doing is Norma and I have gone twice with Esther. I think this will be her seventh or eighth time going with our other two guests who are going this time on Thursday, and part of the thing has been really to get a sense of what are the needs of the people in Suka, how do their Catholic schools work, and then to. And then now, as we've understood their needs and how we might work with them in partnership with our schools, how can we help support them to move them from their
state? Well, let me ask
this,
Norma, how does this partnership happen?
Exactly. I was going to mention that it is multifaceted. You're actually correct. It is not only an educational component, there's also the healthcare, and that's where I come in. Hmm. I work for Resurrection Healthcare, St. Mary and Elizabeth Medical Center, and what we are trying to do, aside from the educational component, is also trying to assist with their healthcare needs. In my privileged opportunity to go to Nsuka the first time, I visited a midwife who was a doctor medicine woman, really, in the bush, which is the jungle area. And she was the only source of health care that these people have, 24/7. And this last year, I visited the largest Catholic hospital in Suka, which is Shannon Hospital.
When you say doctor medicine woman, is that literally true in both senses?
Yes.
Is she a trained medical doctor?
She is a trained midwife.
Trained midwife.
Correct. But if
but
a gentleman comes in
with... she is the source of medical care.
Medical care, absolutely, between her and in Suka. Which is to leave the bush area to go to a hospital.
Well, now, Bernadette, as delegate and principal of Immaculate Conception School on Talcott, I was raised near there at the Mary Seat of Wisdom in Park Ridge. So I know Immaculate Conception very well, and both the school and the parish. How did you get involved? Because I hear this is now going to be your first time making the trip to Nsuka. Who invited you, and why did you say yes?
Esther actually brought this information to our attention 2 years ago, probably after one of her earlier trips. And she gave presentations to principals at our retreat. And what she did is kind of collated, brought a group together that had an interest in pursuing a visit to Africa and to do almost anything with it, from the point of adventurism, because it sounds like it might be an adventure, all the way to mm-hmm. lending a hand educationally.
No, stop right there. When you say adventure... is there a part of you, because it's an adventure, you want to be part of? I know a lot of people would say, I want nothing to do with going to Africa, South America, Canada. I'm a local person, let's say. And all of a sudden you're saying, adventure, going to Nigeria. Is there that part of you that's, you know, wants that flavor?
Absolutely.
You got a sparkle in your eye just when I said that.
You only live once, and I think that, you have an opportunity to go back and take advantage with friends, because I'm not going by myself. I'm not going independently.
Correct.
Bringing a lot of prayer with us and a little fear and trepidation, I have to admit. You know, as we're getting closer, it makes me a little bit more anxious. Mm-hmm. But I think adventure is the correct way of saying it. I never, I think about my experiences in school, and I remember seeing lots and lots of pictures. We didn't travel a lot because we didn't have a lot of money. And the first time I saw salmon actually swim upstream, it was amazing to me. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking to see what life is like there. I find it very intriguing and interesting that, you know, we're in the 21st century, and yet it hasn't really touched that continent that much. I have to admit, I'm kind of disappointed that there's no safaris going through, but it's okay.
You don't have time for safaris.
It probably won't be like the movies you've seen.
No, I was still looking for Robert Redford, but he never showed up.
Stephanie Clausel, principal of St. Albi. Tell us about your involvement in this whole project.
I also learned of the project from Esther Hicks. I immediately became interested in the project because of the opportunity to work with Catholic education in the global context. My goal is to assist in whatever way I can, even if it's in a very small way. I feel that it's God's purpose for me to participate in this project. I believe there's a variety of purposes for me. I am still reflecting upon what those purposes are.
So it's a time of discovery for you.
Yes, yeah. It's a discovery process.
How does the communication happen there? Do the folks back in Nigeria that you've dealt with speak English? Do you use translators?
Yes, that is their primary language is English.
Okay.
In Nigeria?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, they have three languages, right? Their own native language, and then they learn English and French as part of their schooling.
But the country's recognized language is English.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today, a part of Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Gratian Marcheschi. The time is coming up on 9:10 on this Monday morning in Chicago. Cloudy, high about 48 degrees. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Are you ready to get more involved in the pro-life cause? If so, join us on Saturday, March 27th at St. Lambert Parish in Skokie for Charity in Truth. This annual Respect Life Coordinators Conference will focus on the importance of pro-life issues as we seek social justice for all our brothers and sisters, especially those who can't defend themselves. Cardinal George will reflect on Pope Benedict's latest encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, or Charity in Truth, viewing it through the lens of the Gospel of Life. Come hear David B. Wright, founder of the National 40 Days for Life movement. Rita Marker, expert on euthanasia and assisted suicide, will share some disturbing end-of-life trends. To register, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. Again, 312-534-5355. All are welcome at St. Lambert in Skokie on Saturday, March 27th. Don't miss the opportunity.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz, and we are talking about a wonderful project, a partnership, actually, between the Archdiocese of Chicago and a newly formed diocese in Nigeria, the Diocese of Nsukka. First of all, it's exciting to hear that there are new dioceses coming to life in parts of the world, and Africa is certainly a continent where the church is very much alive. It's growing more and faster in Africa than anywhere else in the world, so we give thanks to God for that. But we've been talking about this cooperation, this collaboration, and from what I'm hearing you say, this is not a one-sided thing. It's not about, you know, the rich, advanced Chicago Archdiocese going in to help this new diocese, but it's really about learning from one another. So tell us a little bit about what you have learned in your trips there, particularly what you've been able to bring back that you can share with the children that informs the educational mission of our own schools and archdiocese.
I think that right now, this is the first trip coming up Thursday that principals and teachers from the archdiocese are actually going. The prior trips were people who like Norm and I, who have been part of the committee of interest, who's been helping help plan the partnership and develop that partnership. So what Norm and I can talk about what we brought back is really we kind of went to look and see, to kind of make an inroads of what is the status of the Catholic schools there, and how can we build a partnership to really help them. So I think what we're going to see now when these folks come back is really how can we bring these back.
Okay, let me along those lines then, Stephanie, as a principal at St. Albie School in Chicago. Here you are leaving Thursday.
Yes.
Then what would be a hope and dream for the children back at St. Albie's?
My hope and dream is for our children to learn to appreciate all that God has given them. When what I hope to bring back is more knowledge to share with the children, to see and for them to appreciate all that God has given them. We encourage, we teach our children about giving, and currently they are participating in the Dollars for Dreams campaign to support their peers in the schools in Suka. So my hope is to bring back even more knowledge as I learn about this.
And
schools.
How about you, Bernadette? You know, this is your first time going to in Suka. You are principal at Immaculate Conception over on Talcott in Chicago. So it would be your hope and dream, because, you know, you're going, you have not been there. But again, this is more than just you, because you certainly want to bring back to the community at IC. So what do you hope to do with this?
Likewise, I'm sure that I'm going to bring more information and a personal experience of what Africa is like and what the educational system is like there, and then have the children buy into it. It becomes more easy for them to participate and donate money or goods when they have an idea of what the need is. And I know our children are no different from any other school. They all appreciate being able to assist somebody in the world, and this is an opportunity for them. When Esther first went out, the first thing that she asked a couple of schools, it wasn't a lot, if they would be able to afford to purchase a computer and printer to send over for her to bring over with herself. And IC did participate in that. So that was our first introduction. This year, we just had a leadership camp for all of the schools in our cluster. There are 13 of us, and our eighth graders were informed about the Insuka partnership. And I did that purposely because I knew I was going out. I wanted them to have a handle. And what we did is we asked the leadership to think about how they can donate towards the campaign. And they came up with some independent things. And I know that in our school, we had our annual carnival just before Ash Wednesday, and the kids, $1 of that donation to the carnival went directly to the Dreams campaign. We also have dollars where they donate $1 each Friday during Lent towards a mission, and we have two, actually. We have a school in Birmingham that we're helping to support with IC Parish, and then in Suka.
You know, maybe a question, maybe think of something, Bernadette, and for Stephanie. This would be for Carol and Norma. Back in the 90s, when I was an associate pastor at St. Mary of the Woods for five consecutive years, took young people with some of our adult leaders to Cranks Creek, Kentucky, the poorest diocese in the United States, in eastern Kentucky, a very poor part of Appalachia. I remember the first year I went saying, all that I as a priest will bring to the people in Cranks Creek. I can honestly share with you, after 1 week with the poorest of the poor in eastern Kentucky, they taught me more about life than I ever was able to bring to them. I was humbled by their deep faith, their simplicity, and going back a second, third, fourth, and fifth year, they continued to teach me about life's real meaning and purpose amid poverty. That, now, granted, they had their problems with drinking and drugs like other parts of the country and world, but a simplicity of life. Norma and Carol, did you find the same thing?
Absolutely.
Going to Norma?
Absolutely. They are the most very passionate about their faith. They have much to be bitter about because they have less, a lot less, and compared to the rest of the world. And they know it. They realize it. They do get an opportunity to go to the WWW, the internet, so they know what's out there, especially the youth. And they are the most complacent, welcoming, hospitable people I've met. And exactly the same thing, very humble. And that's what I brought back with me in an awareness.
How about you, Carol?
I think that for me, the first trip was very hard. It was very hard to see the poverty and to see the need. But by the time I came for the second time, I was able to let go of my issues about that. Mm-hmm. and facing what people don't have, because I don't think that they put that on me. I think I took that on myself, and mm-hmm. how can I solve your problems? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's what they're asking you to do. How can you love me as a member of the Catholic community? How can we share faith? I think that was more of what they were asking for, but it was hard for me to see that the first time.
The greeting in Nigeria is, you're welcome. And that's how inviting they are. First,
that's,
I'm like, oh, I didn't say thank you. So whenever you meet anyone, you're welcome. Grassi, you're welcome. They are welcoming you.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Help us to see what you're describing. You've been there. We haven't. So what does a Catholic school in Nigeria look like? Are the children wearing uniforms?
Yes.
what kind of buildings are they? I mean, you've been there. Just when you first got back, you probably had a cup of coffee with somebody and said, let me tell you about my trip. Describe it for us.
Crowded, hot, humid, dark, gloomy. No ventilation.
The buildings are really like concrete slabs, just packed on top of each other. The windows are just an opening in the concrete.
They sit on benches, crowded.
They sit on pews and use the kneeler top part where you would rest your hands at church to write their notes.
They have no chalkboards, so they write on the walls. They have no books, so everything is written on a piece of paper. The teachers have to draw everything on the walls, or they use a piece of wood they've painted with chocolate-colored paint.
Wow.
As a chalkboard.
So we can't image in our own mind like a classroom here in Chicago or a suburb.
We need to move to a break right now, so we're going to continue this conversation about this exciting collaboration with the Diocese of Nsukka as soon as we return. Please stay with us.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
The Jewish and Catholic communities of Chicago will co-sponsor the 15th annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture on Wednesday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Spertus Institute of Jewish Studies. The speaker, Father Dan Harrington, will address Paul and Judaism, 10 New Perspectives. Father Harrington is professor of New Testament at the Boston College School of Theology and Ministry. His research has focused on the relationship between Judaism and the Jewish people and early Christianity. His Eminence Francis Cardinal George will attend the lecture and greet the audience. The date again is Wednesday, March 10th at 7 p.m. Admission is free, but reservations are required. Please call 312-322-1773 to reserve your place. That number again is 312-322-1773. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on AM 950, Relevant Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sakowitz. We're in the middle of Lent. Hope everyone's doing well with their Lenten resolutions, whether to do something or to give up something.
For Lent, I gave up my brother. No, Adrian,
I'm trying to give up work, but they won't let me.
Very close to my brother.
So let's keep praying for one another that this might really be a time of renewal. We've got some wonderful folks here who are embarking on an exciting adventure, at least two of them, for the very first time, traveling to the Diocese of Nsukka, with which the Archdiocese of Chicago has established a partnership. Before we went to the break, you were describing for us, those of you who've been there, what it's like. And during the break, we talked a little bit about the geographical location of this diocese and how it differs from other parts of the country. Carol, why don't you fill us in a little bit about that?
Well, Nsukka is in the southern part of Nigeria, and the southern part of Nigeria traditionally is the more Catholic part of Nigeria, the northern part being the more Muslim part, and it also is where the seat of government mostly is in the north, having been run by the Muslim entity of Nigeria. So when you go down the road, and these ladies will be having it soon when they get out of the airport and start driving to Nsukka, which is like an hour drive from the last airport that they fly into.
I'm assuming very simple roads.
Oh, very simple roads, washed out roads. Lots of cars get wrecked on the drive, and there'll be no stoplights. And actually, the last time Norma and I were there last May, we did start to see that they were using solar power to run stoplights. So otherwise, there's no basic infrastructure. There's no electricity. There's no water, no running water, no.
You know, along with, since we have you right there for a moment, Carol, is give us a web people could go to see these beautiful pictures you were talking about during the break.
Absolutely. On the Archdiocesan website, there's a link to Nsukka Schools. And it's the website would be ocs.archchicago.org/nsukkaproject.aspx.
Do that one more time.
Yes, and I'll spell it. It's ocs.archchicago.org/nsukka, which is Nsukka Project, project, aspx. So there's lots of pictures of our former trips there. There'll be links to all of the documents and reports that Esther has produced and we've shared with the other partners.
So if they just Googled Nsukka, I bet that would come up, right?
If they Google Nsukka Project and maybe put a little link in for the Archdiocese, you'll get it, yes.
N-S-U-K-K-A. N-S-U-K-K-A. Besides the Archdiocese and the Diocese of Nsukka, there are some other partners involved in this. Tell us about that.
Well, I work for Resurrection Healthcare, and that is the healthcare connection that I have. And we also have Aurora Health Plans in Wisconsin. They have been very generous in supplying supplies, medical supplies, to Nsukka. The healthcare entities we've met there, which was Bishop Shanahan Hospital and the midwifery clinic in the jungle of Nsukka, one of the bush areas.
Another partner is Newman Architects. Chuck Newman also has begun his own non-for-profit, which is called Schools for the Children of the World, and he has developed plans to help governments and people within Honduras, and I think he's actually probably right now helping the people of Haiti, and he's been part of this project helping develop plans for how schools might be built and better built to really bring more natural light into them and utilize resources more efficiently.
Maybe this question for Norma and for Carol, this is, you've been there twice. Mm-hmm. This will be now your third trip.
No, we're not going.
Let me ask both of you this. You've been there twice. You have Stephanie and you have Bernadette going for the first time. What advice would you give them as they leave on Thursday morning?
I think they already have everything that they need. They both have a great spirit of adventure and of really wanting to connect at the level of the sacred. And what more can you ask for such a trip?
But they said during the break, we're a little bit scared. We're a little bit afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of, especially if you listen to the doctors, whatever the clinics advice, you go to. Yeah. We were petrified after we left the clinic, and there was nothing to worry. You are going with a group. There will be bottled water. You will be taken care of. And again, the people will take care of you.
And they'll say you're welcome.
And they'll say you're welcome before you do anything.
as you come and see them. There,
Stephanie, are you convinced of all this, Stephanie? Look at her eyes.
I am.
It will go by so fast, and you will enjoy every minute.
But Norma and Carol are very convincing.
Part of your going does connect with our faith. In the sense of being, we are missionaries, to bring the gospel of the Lord beyond ourselves.
Correct.
But it's not. But also, I found as a priest, it's not so much what I bring; it's what the Lord does through us and all that we receive. You know, the gift of life and a new culture, and if we're open to that, and
absolutely,
it's not on my terms, but we open the Spirit. One thing that Ryan said that regarding the web, you can pick it up on the link off the school's website, which is www.archchicago.org, and go to schools, and there's a web link for it, so you'll be able to find it.
You know, every day the news brings us a new area of need around the world, you know, new earthquake, whatever. And I frankly, I'm a little surprised to hear that things are as primitive as you described mm-hmm. them there in Nigeria. So it's obviously another place of need, but how wonderful that there are always people to respond to the needs. And some are called to help out in Haiti. Some are called to help in Chile. Mm-hmm. And you folks are called to help in Nsukka.
And you're absolutely right. There are people all over the planet that need help. What we have done, even with our first trip and even with Father Willie being here, is establish relationships. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Relationship building and building on top of that.
And a sense of global church.
Absolutely.
Global church. We have to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. The time is coming up on 9:30. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. And I want to thank in a very special way our four guests the first half hour, Stephanie Clausel, Delegate and Principal of St. Albie School in Chicago, Bernadette Felicioni, Delegate and Principal of Immaculate Conception School on Telcott in Chicago, two delegates, Carol Fent and Norma Thornton, who have both been twice to Nsukka, and now this will be the first time for Stephanie and Bernadette. Our prayers are with you. Truly, this is inspirational for all of us. Go with God. And to our listeners, stay with us. Our number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Men, God is calling each of us to greater things. Join Cardinal Francis George, Patrick Madrid, Curtis Martin, and other nationally renowned Catholic speakers and find out how the Holy Spirit can make a difference in your life. Learn how to be a God-fearing man, a God-loving man, a better husband, and a better father at the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference, Saturday, March 20th at the Donald Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Saturday, March 20th, the Chicago Catholic Men's Conference. For details, visit goingforth.org. That's goingforth.org.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Ashes on the forehead mark another Lenten season. We'll talk with Cardinal George about what Catholics can do to strengthen their faith during this holy time of year. And the director of the Office for Hispanic Catholics, Father Claudio Diaz, will share his insights on the significance of Lent.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese. You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and special edition today of Catholic Schools Today. Time is coming up on 9:33 on this Monday morning in Chicago during the Lenten season, and spring is less than 2 weeks away, right, Gratz?
Feels like it.
It does. Well, it's actually supposed to be talking 50s this week.
Yeah.
A lot of rain, snow is melting, but winter is still not quite over, but the worst is behind us.
Didn't even mention the Academy Awards.
I didn't see
it. You see the bags under my eyes?
I
was at an Academy Awards party last night.
Were you really?
Yeah. I called like 80% of them.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won. Yeah.
What'd you win?
I guessed the most.
The most?
Yeah.
I think in all the years I've seen, I
won an extra gin and tonic.
Yeah. You know, there wasn't any sporting event involved, so
no
I turned
sporting
it off.
Event.
So get back to our program here.
Catholic school. Oh, that's right. Catholic schools.
How about
Catholic
sports for 400? For the question, the award-winning Infant Jesus of Prague School in Flossmoor has just received another national recognition. Its school board was one of only 5 Catholic schools nationwide to receive the 2010 Outstanding School Board Award from the National Catholic Educational Association, known as the NCEA. And with us in studio, we're very happy to have with us Dan Smith, the principal of Infant Jesus of School, Prague School in Flossmoor. And we have the president of the school board, Patrick Keating, and a member of the school board, Randall Blakey. Gentlemen, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you. Glad to have you. Thank you.
You know, I think it's divinely ordained. I have this little bit of a saint collection. I only collect wooden saints. And yesterday I was bidding on one on eBay. And guess what it was? Infant Jesus of Prague, an 18-inch tall wooden statue.
On eBay?
On eBay,
did you win?
I did.
No kidding.
Yeah. I got at a great price, too. So I should have had it here with me
you
today.
You do collect wooden saints.
Wooden saints. Only wood.
Interesting.
Yes. Anyway, good morning, gentlemen. Another award, it says here. What was the first one that you all won?
Well, we've won several awards in the last few years. We've won 2 Blue Ribbon School Awards from the Department of Education.
That's major.
Yes. Dan's predecessor was awarded National Distinguished Principal by the NCEA in 2006, and then in 2007 received a Distinguished Principal Award from the Department of U.S. Department of Education. So,
well, that's remarkable.
Sounds like your own Academy Awards.
Now, Dan, as the principal, since this award went to the board, let's let you tell us about them. What did they do so well to merit this award?
The board has been working very hard over all the years to just try and keep moving the school forward. So they're a group of very talented individuals. They've really recruited members to have a good blend of skills that are needed to help give vision to the board. And they've been able to work in all areas that are their responsibility, try and keep us financially stable, working on marketing and promoting the school and encouraging recruitment, continuing to move forward, raising funds for the school, a very active development committee, which has established a foundation for the school and also generates income regularly to help purchase the things that aren't part of our budget. So that's one way that they really help promote and advance the school.
Dan, how many years have you been principal then? About 2 or 3 now?
This is my first year
here
at
Infant Jesus. Your first year?
Yes.
Your first year? Where'd you come from before this?
I was principal at St. Walter School in Chicago.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. You stepped into a tremendous school board, and that's outstanding. And Randall, as a member of the school board, what is your role at this time?
My role, I'm the neophyte, if you will, on the school.
Oh, you're the rookie.
Board. Right. I'm the rookie. This is my first full year on the school board. But the role that I'm serving is the chairman of the PR and marketing committee. And we've put forth for the first time a enrollment management plan to sustain our enrollment over the years and to have some management in place to see to it that it's done.
How many children do you have at Infant Jesus?
I have 2. I have my oldest daughter is an 8th grader, so she'll be graduating and moving on. I have a 2nd grader, and I have a 3-year-old who I think will be class of 2020 or something like that. So I'm in it for the long haul in terms of I have a personal stake in seeing the long term success of Catholic education and especially Infant Jesus.
So Patrick, how did you get involved on the school board? Were you invited? Did you apply? Did you lose a bet?
More like the latter. Our school board is elected by parishioners and school parents, and there was when my oldest daughter was in 1st or 2nd grade, there was simply a notice in the parish bulletin: we are seeking, you know, applicants for the school board. My wife said, "Oh, you should do it." I had previously served as an alumni school board member at St. Francis de Sales High School and had just sort of rotated off of that shift. And so I stood for election, and I actually was not elected. I thought they were desperate for applicants, and in fact they had too many, and I was new to the parish. But
they then had a resignation, and I was appointed onto the board. I stood for election the following year, and that was about 6 years ago.
I think principals are delighted when somebody has a very young child in the school, because that means there will be that longevity. The pattern seems to be that once children graduate, then their involvement with the school obviously ends, because now they get involved in their high school or whatever. So folks like you are pure gold to pastors and principals. Randall, how about you? How many children do you have in the school?
I have two. I have a third grader and an eighth grader, and so I'm in it for the long haul as well. My eighth grader is preparing, of course, to graduate, and looking forward to being with the board and just doing what needs to be done to sustain what we've already encountered over the years, and to open some new doors, hopefully.
Yeah. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today, a part of Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. And we're with Randall Blakey, who's a member of the School Board of Infant Jesus of Prague in Flossmoor. Also, Patrick Keating, the president of the school board, and Dan Smith, the principal at Infant Jesus of Prague. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break. And do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World, or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
.9:42 in the morning. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio AM 950, co-hosted by Graziano Marcheschi and the one, the only, Father Greg Sackowitz. We are talking to three gentlemen from Infant Jesus of Prague School, their principal and the president of the school board and one of the school board members. I'd like to ask the two school board members, Dan and Randall. You're both dads. You're both you look like businessmen. I'm assuming you're businessmen. So you have to work hard to make a living. You've decided to put two kids in a Catholic school. That's never an easy decision because there's always a cost involved. What is it about IJP that attracted you and that keeps you invested for the long haul, as you've said?
Well, I grew up in the South Suburbs. I grew up in South Holland and attended Holy Ghost Catholic School there, which has since been one of the schools that sort of has dealt with consolidation, and it no longer exists as a school. It's a one of the parishes that sends to another school. So I was a lifelong resident of the suburbs, and stability was important to me. I actually chose to move to the village of Flossmoor, where I live, in part because of Infant Jesus of Prague. It was a sort of already well on its way to having a reputation locally for academic excellence, and it was one of the larger and more stable Catholic schools in the region. So it really sort of drove my home buying decision. I live two blocks away, and so it was really never in doubt that I think we were going to send our kids to Catholic school, and once we chose to move to Flossmoor, that it was going to be at Infant Jesus.
How about for you, Randall?
For me, it was definitely the quality of the education. Parents today have to be concerned with how their children are being prepared for the global future that they're going to be entering. And so when we began to look at schools in the South Suburbs, Infant Jesus of Prague by far outweighed every other school that we looked at. And I'm also very appreciative of the Catholic identity that is found at Infant Jesus of Prague, and to know that you know, our kids are being formed as nice Christian young men and women.
Now, Randall, where were you raised? In Chicago?
Partially Chicago and partially South Suburbs.
Okay.
Yes.
So the thing is now, Dan, as the first-year principal of IJP in Flossmoor, I'm sure you have learned a lot. First of all, coming from St. Walter's, which is a much smaller school, and all of a sudden we said during off the air that IJP is about 500 children, which is a very large school. What has the community taught you so far in the first year?
Well, I've had to learn, just learning a lot of people is a big step right off the bat. And then being so much bigger, that it's important for me to realize that I've got a lot of people that can help me out, my school board as well as my staff members. A lot of people with expertise, and they're willing to lend a hand. So I don't feel like I have to do as many things as I did before. There's other people that can share the responsibility. And learning to delegate and let go probably is one of the biggest challenges that I faced moving into a bigger institution. But it's you also then experience that feeling of teamwork and camaraderie and working together on things, which is a nice benefit to have. There's been lots of new things to learn, and just how do things operate and how do we do things, and getting all the routines figured out.
Yeah, figuring out all the keys.
Yeah, that's right.
I like to know, you know, when people think about serving on a board, particularly a volunteer board of a not-for-profit, you know, sometimes there's that wince effect, like, you know, you probably had when your wife mentioned, why don't you run for the board? So what I like to know is, what do you like about it? I'm sure there's a lot of work and a lot of difficult things, but what's the good stuff? What do you enjoy? What makes it worthwhile?
Because you remember, Patrick, you're the president, so it's a different ballgame.
Right. Well, and as president, I think what I like about it is sort of the opportunity to build a team. I kind of pushed through the application process in part because I was so impressed by my team. Mm. The skill set, I mean, Randall is probably too shy to tell you. He's won Emmy Awards as a broadcast journalist, which is why he's running our recruiting function. His day job is director of ministries at St. Sabina. So I've got 8 more members with incredible skill sets just like his. So it's just a pleasure to work with really talented people. And I've only been president for a year and a half. And so trying to sort of—
Is it a two-year term?
No, it's elected annually from the membership. I think we have a 5 or 6 year term limit, which I put in when we redid our constitution. But so that's been really rewarding, just working with an incredible team. And then the other really rewarding thing has been starting fresh with Dan, because we're all able to— the key to a Catholic school board, especially an advisory board, is collaboration. We don't have a lot of defined authority the way maybe another public nonprofit or a public school board has. A lot of the authority rests still in the pastor and in the archbishop. And so things work when basically everybody steps back, recognizes their roles, and decides to work collaboratively. And that's been really rewarding. We've had a great collaborative relationship.
How about a website and phone number? Would you have that? Who's got that offhand? Randall?
The website is ijpparish.org.
ijpparish.org.
That's correct.
And Dan, how about a phone number if they want to learn more about IJP?
708-799-5200.
That number once again.
708-799-5200. 5200.
Would like to thank Randall Blakey, a member of the school board of IJP, and Patrick Keating, the president of the school board of IJP School in Flossmoor, and the principal, Dan Smith, for joining us here on Catholic Schools Today. Gentlemen, you're doing a marvelous job.
Amen.
Keep up the great work, and God bless you. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Marches Have a Heart. Help Your Neighbor Month at Catholic Charities. On March 5th from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., Catholic Charities employees and volunteers will kick off this momentous month of giving by collecting non-perishable food items at NBC Plaza. There's never been a time when your generosity was needed more. This March, consider donating to Catholic Charities. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/neighbor or call 312-655-7525.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Make March your month to give back. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 7th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of March at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have a social committee fundraiser on Tuesday, March 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. at 10 Pin Bowling Lounge in Chicago. For $35, you can bowl for 3 hours, enjoy a buffet, 2 drink tickets, and a chance to mix and mingle with junior board members and friends. Don't miss this fun and exciting opportunity to give back to Catholic Charities. 100% of the proceeds go directly to help our clients. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Join our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, the one and only, here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:52 a.m. on this cloudy.
Could you hear that chorus of thank God?
Thank God.
The one and only.
Praise God.
We can't use anymore.
One's enough.
One's too much.
I forgot what we're going to talk about. Oh, our phone number, 312-255-8408. We move to Sandra Prez, principal of Academy of Our Lady in Waukegan. And the Academy of Our Lady School in Waukegan has recently enrolled students from Haiti. Hear about some interesting information about how Haiti now, the Catholic schools there, and various musings with Sandra Prez, principal. Sandra, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Well, good morning, Father, and thank you.
All the way up there in Waukegan.
That's right.
How's the weather up there?
It looks like spring is here.
Oh, yeah.
Snow is melting like crazy, and we couldn't be more thankful.
Same thing down here in Chicago, too.
How did this come about that you enrolled students from Haiti?
Well, Father, it turns out that a longtime parishioner has a very good friend in Haiti. They both are from Haiti. She now lives in Waukegan, has lived in Waukegan for a long time. And after the earthquake, the family from Haiti got in touch with her and asked about sending up the grandchildren who were attending Catholic schools since their schools were destroyed in the earthquake. And about 2 weeks after, they made it up here to Waukegan and to our school. They also came up with their little 8-month-old brother. So now we have the fourth grader and a seventh grader. here at the Academy of Our Lady with us.
So which means they literally have come to your school midstream right after the devastating earthquake in Haiti. And now where are they living?
They're living with a friend of the family here in Waukegan. In fact, I was able to meet Mom and Dad. The father of our children is a doctor. He's an OBGYN down there. And Mom works with a program that manages medicine dispersal for people with malaria, HIV, AIDS, and TB. So both of them were very busy down there. But they came up last week, and we had a great conversation. They shared that how happy they are their kids are here because the schools are just, there's nothing for the kids right now in Haiti.
Now, is the dad still working in Haiti?
Yes, both of them are there working really hard.
So the children are here, and Mom and Dad are back in Haiti.
That is correct.
Wow, that's quite a challenge for them.
I mean, do you realize that, you think about this for a moment, Sandra, and for our listeners. We go about our day in and day out, and here we have a situation in Haiti. Thousands of lives have been lost, families uprooted. In this case here, you have children here in Waukegan, Mom and Dad back at home. In one moment, their lives have been totally changed.
That's right.
In one moment, and also the thousands that have lost their lives.
Tell us about the children. You know, for us, it's easy to assume that it would be completely devastating. You know, we look at the images on television and we think, how could anyone not have that completely define their reality? But children tend to be amazingly resilient. Without being invasive,
of these young people, they came into a new language and a new school, new surroundings. Now, the lucky part was that they had spent some time during the summer here visiting the family friend. Hmm. So they at least had an idea of what it would be like and got to see Waukegan. We were very blessed also. We have a lay missionary from Germany with us now who speaks beautiful French. And she was able to be with the children for those first few days so that they felt they had somebody to go to in their own language. But now they're both standing on their own two feet with English. And
already?
Doing remarkably well. Father, they have their days, you know.
Now Sandra, I know that Haiti is
there.
Haiti is overwhelmingly Catholic. Are you aware, have you heard, what is the status of the Catholic schools right now, presently as we speak in Haiti? Have you heard anything from...
Yes, I have. In fact, I spoke with the doctor on Friday about that, and he said that the schools are pretty much collapsed, destroyed.
So right now, presently, the children in Haiti are not going to school because they have no place to go.
That is correct. He said that they have put some tents up, and
wow.
The children are returning to school in tents.
Wow.
But even the schools that haven't collapsed, they consider them unsafe and
structurally
Haiti
sure.
Experience aftershocks, which makes it even more unreliable.
Now, I'm assuming that, as you said, these children came to your school because of the personal connection they already had with those friends there in the parish. Are you aware of any similar kinds of efforts to bring children from Haiti to the U.S. And give them the same kind of opportunity that you're providing?
You know, Father, I really do not know about that, and I had asked the doctor and his wife, and they didn't know either. But it would be wonderful kind of outreach because the children are not being schooled right now.
Well, how about this, Sandra? The two children have just entered your school. How are they acclimating with their new classmates?
Just wonderful. In fact, I was talking this morning to a friend of our seventh grade girl, and they're going to be exchanging phone numbers, and the parents are going to be getting in touch with the person who's their guardian now, and they're looking to go bowling. Turns out they love bowling in Haiti as much as we do up here in Washington.
They do. They do love. I wouldn't realize that. Before we close the segment.
Number one sport in America.
That's true. The number one sport in America is bowling.
Yep.
And
recreation. Used to it right away when they got up here, and they brought that love down there, and they come back, and that's the first thing they asked for is, can we go bowling, Auntie?
That is great. Sandra, give us a phone number and website for the school.
Our phone number is 847-623-4110.
That number once again.
847-623-4110.
And your web.
It's www.acadofourlady.org.
I'd like to thank Sandra Prez, the principal of Our Lady School in Waukegan, for joining us here on Catholic Schools Today. We want to thank in a very special way our producer, Ryan Blackburn, our assistant producer, Jasmine Kiddos, our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock, and special thank you to co-host Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation of the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. To all of you, may God bless you during this Lenten season, a time to seek forgiveness, mercy, conversion, starting over. Blessed day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.